you need to follow him. You need to see what he's doing, and he's a great follow. Tonight we get you and I Valparaiso 6:30 pregame. That's up in Cedar Falls. Saturday you get you and I Indiana State. That is at Indiana State. That's 11:30 pregame. And Sunday all day, starting at 1 o'clock, you're getting the NFC and AFC championships. NFC, I believe the NFC is first, and the AFC is second. So looking forward to catching up with those. Want to take some time here. DeMoss, Des Moines Orthopedic Center, is helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street, Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. DeMoss Urgent Injury Clinics at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at DeMoss. They're pretty darn accurate, too. That's the great thing about that. Hours, West Des Moines, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Ankeny is Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. West Des Moines opens up later, stays open later. Ankeny opens up earlier, closes earlier. They're both open the same on Saturday. The difference between urgent care and emergency rooms is the severity of the health problem. If the condition is life-threatening, go to the emergency room. If the condition is a minor illness or injury, take advantage of the convenience of your urgent care has to offer. With DeMoss, we accept most insurances, but we always recommend confirming with your insurance carrier. New to DeMoss is Engineered Performance by DeMoss, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. They also have a location in Huxley, Iowa. I think that's one of the next things when Melissa comes back on. I think we're going to bring in the Engineered Performance team again to really hone in and what they offer and what they're doing. It's really exciting. It's one of the more exciting things that are happening out there right now in this time, right here in this time of year. What it's doing for local high schools, Grandview, some colleges that are around. It's a great program, and it needs to be talked about more, and more people need to find out about it. So I'm extremely happy that I get to help do that. Okay, so got to take a breath. I said I was going to – I want to start with this because I want to get baseball out of the way. Yesterday, Fred McGriff had been – so we're having some struggles, right? Between, you know, it used to be you'd get one or two people going into the Hall of Fame. You know, it's been a couple of dry spells. Scott Rolen made it in on the vote. He got to 75%. One of the interesting things, and I don't know if you heard it when we went through one of our commercial breaks, it was either the start before my show or right after. They were talking about Scott Rolen. 4 years ago, Scott Rolen got 10% of the vote. I don't understand how Scott Rolen goes from 10% of the vote to 75% of the vote. You've already shown that the last couple of years you didn't have to vote anybody into the Hall of Fame. Scott Rolen is a very good baseball player. Here's the crazy thing about baseball. And until you play it at a high end, nobody understands how tough baseball is. And it's tough. And he's a great player, multi-year all-star. But when I think Hall of Fame, I don't think Scott Rolen fits. And I love baseball. I love to talk baseball. I love Fred McGriff. You either had to be when I was growing up and when I was going to high school, where you're talking 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, that's five. So 1980. I mean, it just started coming. You got Chicago Cubs games and you got Atlanta Braves games. So you either grew up one or the other. And all my friends were all Cubs fans and I didn't want to be like them. So I was a Braves fan. And I got to have some exciting times. I had Steve Avery, Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, my lefty. What's my lefty's name? It'll hit me here in a second. All of them, except for Avery, are Hall of Famers. And, you know, those guys, when they were pitching, Randy Johnson was pitching, when Nolan Ryan, at the end of his, even at the end of his career, when Nolan Ryan was pitching, everybody was watching baseball games. And, you know, it's different nowadays. Now, you have some young guys that are controlling major leagues. Andrew Judge. It's been one of those days. Aaron Judge is going to be a Hall of Famer. What he's done, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Shohei Ohtani, as long as he stays healthy, he's a Hall of Famer. There's a lot of these young guys that are unbelievably good right now. And baseball is at such a high level right now. But you had, from that steroid era years to now, you had a bunch of good players. And if you're the Hall of Fame, you don't want to go years without getting somebody in. And I don't think that's the right way to look at it, but it's sometimes that's the way they do look at it. Tom Glavine, my goodness. I'm sorry, Tom Glavine, one of my favorite players. Once again, there's nothing that we can do. I can't say that Scott Rolen is not a, I mean, I can say it. I believe it. But he was voted in, and you let it be what it is. But there's a lot of baseball purists out there today, and I don't consider myself to be a baseball purist. I just understand when you look at their numbers don't correlate with what you expect. Now, on the other part, with Barry Bonds and Alex Rodriguez and however many or you want. Listen, Curt Schilling is Curt Schilling's worst nightmare, and he's enemy number one because of Curt Schilling. I don't know. And Roger Clemens is close to that too. And that's the other part of this that I don't like, is you have these are done by baseball writers, and baseball writers, and I don't know how they are now, but baseball writers from the past like to be in charge. And they didn't like when those players didn't talk about him or when they yelled and screamed at him, and they did that. So they didn't treat them well. The players didn't treat them well either, but they didn't think that they were getting enough respect from the reporters. And I don't blame them. They're reporters. They're not playing the game. They're making pros, but they're writing about the game. But they thought that their writing was so good that they were just at the same level as these baseball players. Alex Rodriguez before any of it. Just Alex Rodriguez, what he did with the Seattle Mariners, is a Hall of Famer. What Barry Bonds did before Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. And I have a bigger problem with Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire than I do with Alex Rodriguez and Barry Bonds. And here's the reason why. And this is why I respect Derek Jeter so much. And I don't think that Derek Jeter is as good a baseball player as Barry Bonds or Alex Rodriguez. But he did it the right way. He did his whole career the right way. And for that, it was easy for him to get where he was going to go. And it wasn't for these other two. I mean, listen, I loved watching Alex Rodriguez play. And I took the Alex Rodriguez side, and a lot of my friends took the Derek Jeter side. Because I'm like, hey, Alex Rodriguez plays just as good a defense, and he's going to get you 40 home runs. But then when he started hitting 60 home runs because he was using performance enhancing, I understand why he did it, because he wanted to get paid. And I understand why Barry Bonds did it, because Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa got paid. And Barry Bonds is like, I am way better a baseball player than either one of those two guys. And the only reason they're getting paid is because they're cheating and nobody's saying anything about it. So I'm going to do it too. And don't think that Major League Baseball and the entire country didn't buy into it either. They were breaking into TV shows, news stations, local channels breaking in to show at-bats for Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. So don't tell me that they didn't buy in, and don't tell me that they didn't know that all of a sudden Sammy Sosa was sorry, microphone. I was yelling into my microphone. I'm not supposed to do that. They could tell that Sammy Sosa had his head had grown, and Mark McGwire was busting out. And the same with Barry Bonds. It doesn't mean that you don't take what they did before they did that. There are some, and see, that's the thing that other people, we don't understand. There's some horrible people in the Hall of Fame. people that did incredibly bad things, besides taking steroids and blowing statistics out of the water. And that's the other part. See, the other part of the Baseball Hall of Fame is the writers love to use stats, right? I'm going to use stats. I can't, if he doesn't have 200 wins or 300 wins or 300 or 3,000 strikeouts, he can't be in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, how would you like to be in that probably 4 or 5 year period, some pitchers that are trying to make it to the Hall of Fame and everybody in baseball is juicing and hitting the ball twice as far and twice as hard and twice as fast as they had before. And now it's continuing to work that way, right? You still have great pitching in major leagues, but man, it's difficult. And you don't have great pitching like you used to. So if you're starting out right now and you're a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, your chances of making the Hall of Fame are almost zero. If you're a closer, I think you have a better chance because starting pitching in Major League Baseball goes 5 innings now. Well, you're not going to make a career out of going 5 innings. No matter how many wins you have, they look at wins and innings pitched, and you're not going to have innings pitched enough to get in. The reason they're going to not let you in is because some of the people that aren't in, because their numbers just never got to a point where it needed to be, but they have more innings and they have more wins. Now, closers, totally different. There's still going to be closers that get in, and you still have a long list. There are so many young baseball players that are going to do things that nobody's ever seen before. And it's probably going to equal its way out. And I think they're going to slowly start changing the way that they induct people into the Hall of Fame. It's going to be no difference in you know, we talked earlier, probably about a month ago, that all AAA stadiums, not only are they going to have, they've already instituted the pitch clock, which I think is awesome. It cuts, Randy Weyhofer's been in here, can't wait to get him back in. It cuts 7 to 8 minutes off a game. And you're thinking, well, 7 to 8 minutes. Well, then it's going to be 10 minutes and it's going to be 12 minutes because it's going to be quicker because they're not even going to think about it anymore. They're not going to stand there and redo everything because they know they can't. And, you know, you're going to get to a point where you're saving 20 minutes a game. And that's the hardest thing about baseball and bringing in new baseball fans. You take a 6-year-old to a baseball game. You take a 10-year-old to a baseball game. They get bored because you're sitting there for too long and there's not enough stuff. You know, you go to a college basketball game or you go to a hockey game or you go to arena football or you do all the fun things that are here to do. There's excitement at every single moment. And when they're not doing excitement because they take a timeout, there's stuff on the floor with excitement. Go to a Wolves game, go to a Wild game. It is crazy. Go to a Barnstormers game. It's unbelievable. So just to come all the way back around, I have nothing but love for Scotty Rowland and Fred McGriff, the crime dog. I grew up, loved watching them play, tough as nails. They're not Hall of Famers. And this is from somebody that's been from the 70s up to now. I've seen Hall of Famers. I know what Hall of Famers look like. I know what it takes. Do I think there's some people out there that need to get in that haven't been in? Absolutely. But I think having it doesn't do the due diligence for some of the people, and I can't name them all, but you know, the Hank Aarons and the Brooks Robinsons, and I'm trying to think of some first basemen that are in, and the amount of statistics and things that they did and wins and championships, and Scott Rowland and Fred McGriff come in. And once again, it's nothing against Scott Rowland and Fred McGriff. It's just numbers. It is hard to quantify those numbers and get people up to where they need to be. I mean, if you take everybody's number of third basemen, I don't know some from like the 60s and before, but if you take from the 70s to now in a third baseman in the Hall of Fame, I don't think Scott Rowland's numbers match up. Now, I could be wrong, and I guarantee you someone's gonna prove me wrong if I am, but that's just something. It's supposed to mean more. And fair, not fair, I don't know where we all fall. But it's also a very hard thing to do to get baseball writers who have this legacy and what they do to give that legacy up and to look at things differently. It's just, it's not going to happen. And that's not a good thing. I think it's a bad thing. And I don't think it's not going to hurt baseball, because baseball lovers are always going to be baseball lovers. And then you have baseball lovers that just like to go and watch baseball and sit out in the sun and drink a few beers. I get that too. They're not the ones that care about who's a Hall of Famer and who's not a Hall of Famer. Randy Weyhofer cares. I care. I was brought up to care about baseball. I mean, my father would be so angry with me now, because if I had to pick a sport that I want to watch on TV, I would watch golf. Football would be next. NCAA basketball would be next. And then there would be a tie between baseball and the NBA. But the NBA has more action, so I probably would put NBA. I'd have baseball last, and my dad would be extremely mad at me for doing that. And I tried to keep an open mind, but I think my kids probably agree with me. If you had them sitting in here, baseball probably would be the last. It's fun to go to a baseball game, though. And I'm telling you, going to an Iowa Cubs game is top-notch entertainment because of everything that Randy and his staff do, not just for the baseball. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Two segments left. I'll be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. We are getting ready for the down low. We're halfway through, more than halfway through the week. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and website is at 1700thechamp.com. Wednesday, tonight, you and I, Valparaiso, up in Cedar Falls, 6:30 pregame. Saturday, you and I at Indiana State. That's 11:30 pregame. And then Sunday, NFC and AFC championships, 1 o'clock pregame, NFC first, AFC second. A whole day, if you're out in your car, you're out moving around, you're out for a walk, whatever you're doing, you can listen to our show station, 1700 The Champ, 101.3 FM. And you can listen, or you can go to the website, 1700champ.com, and listen live, and you're going to get whatever is being played on the radio. So that's the easiest way to do that. Tomorrow, Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. I'm off on Friday. Be back Monday, raring and ready to go. We'll have, you know, our first little soiree into the Super Bowl, and it's that dead week, man. We're gonna spend a lot of time next week. We'll do that Monday. That Monday is always a catch up time, right, for football. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're going to spend some time on college basketball. We're gonna spend some time on NBA basketball, getting ready for baseball, do some high school sports. We'll do a lot of stuff since NFL and college are all going to be out, and we have that kind of dead week. But Monday, we're going to come in, we'll talk about what happened over the weekend, and then we'll go from there. But so no, next week, we'll get, I know that Coach Kevin O'Hare is going to come on. We'll get David Eichel, Maddie Nelson, talk I'll get Kevin Lehman back on again. I know I've got a couple of people that want to come in, and I know that my middle son, huge NBA fan, loves to talk NBA, savant NBA. He wants to come in and talk that. He just hasn't felt good the last couple of days, so we couldn't have him come in and do that. So look forward to that next week. Okay, so we talked a little bit about Scott Rowland and Fred McGriff, and I'll get into that again. 2024, and I'm trying to think, and one of the reasons I do this, because and one of the things that I will do is I will talk to Grandpa Bickford, because that's my baseball go-to guy, and I'm going to talk about them right now. This is your 2024 group, and I want someone to tell me who they think in this list. I mean, I think I have a couple, but I mean, these were all, I'm just going to read them. Adrian Beltran, Joe Mauer, Chase Utley, Jose Bautista, Bartolo Colon, Adrian Gonzalez, Matt Holliday, Victor Martinez, Jose Reyes, David Wright, and Brandon Phillips. There is your candidates for next year. And I'm like, okay, I'm trying to do this right off the bat. I mean, if I had to look at this and say, okay, take three, who are your three going to be? I think I would take Joe Mauer. I would be on the fence with Adrian Beltran. And man, I love me some Chase Utley, but it's not enough. I like Jose Bautista. Bartolo Colon is very interesting. The fact that how good an athlete he was, and he wasn't your normal pitcher body. I don't know if there's anybody on this list that can get enough votes to make it on the first ballot. And that's kind of where we're at in these last few years. I don't know who you, I mean, there are times that Chase Utley might have been the best player, maybe a year. Joe Mauer, probably more than that. Adrian Beltran, probably more than that. David Wright, he would have, if injuries, Brandon Phillips, man, it's tough. And I don't know. I don't see a Hall of Famer in that group. And I'm not looking at who got passed over this time, but there wasn't even people close. And like I said, I love Scott Rolen. I love Fred McGriff. I am all over Crime Dog. See, now Travis, he's Mauer, Joe Mauer, if anyone. I agree with that. And he was a catcher, and it took a couple of years of his career away because of him catching. I mean, if that's the one that I look at. I did that again. I shouted into my microphone. I'm sorry. That would be the first one that I just glanced and I'm like, okay, I would be more for Joe Mauer making the Hall of Fame than Scott Rolen or Fred McGriff. And I feel really bad about saying that because these are great baseball players, but this isn't the great fame. It's the Hall of Fame. I have issues with that, but we'll have to get over them, I guess. One of the other things that came out today. Oh, I'm going to do one more baseball thing, and I want to see. And this is kind of, I'm glad T's listening because this is the kind of stuff that I get into just based on the way baseball is right now. And if you're a true pure baseball fan, just a true baseball fan, you're probably not liking the way that baseball is right now because I'm going to give you. So they have Major League Baseball has a tier, right? And they wrote this down today. It came from Game Day MLB. The top tier is the Atlanta Braves, the Houston Astros, the New York Mets, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the San Diego Padres. And the second tier, I have to be able to make it bigger, is the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mariners, the Cardinals, and the Blue Jays. And then you have, and this is the part, this next one here is why I still have hope that Major League Baseball can survive. Because you have the Baltimore Orioles, the Seattle Mariners, the White Sox, no, I already said, it's the White Sox. They made these really small. Milwaukee Brewers, the Minnesota Twins, and the Tampa Bay Rays. So in that fringe playoff teams, you had five of the smallest markets. And then everybody up, it's the Guardians is who the G was. It was throwing me off. It must be the Washington Guardians. No, the Cleveland Guardians, because where are the Nationals at? Yep, the Nationals are. So it's the Cleveland Guardians. That threw me off. So once again, Atlanta, Houston, the Mets, Philadelphia, and San Diego. And that's based on talent they have on their roster and the amount of money they spend. And then you have the Guardians, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mariners, the Cardinals, and the Blue Jays, and then the Orioles, the Sox, the Brewers, the Twins, and Tampa Bay. And bringing up the could be good, could be awful, is the Cubs, the Angels, the Marlins, the Giants, and the Texas Rangers. And the ones that have absolutely no chance, sorry, T, the Diamondbacks, the Red Sox being in there with where they've been in payroll and the talent they have on that team to be, they have no chance. Kansas City Royals, once again, sorry, T. The Cincinnati Reds, the Tigers, the Pirates, the Nationals, and the two bottom teams are the A's and the Colorado Rockies. He sent me a sad face. Now, the Kansas City, I think they have a chance. If you could combine Kansas City, Boston, and the California Angels, or the Arizona, it's the Diamondbacks. So if you combine KC, Boston, and the Diamondbacks, you might be able to compete with that grouping up above. Now, for the Royals, it's not that big a deal. And for the Diamondbacks, it's not that big a deal either because their payrolls are small. For the Boston Red Sox and having one of the biggest payrolls in baseball, and you're down in the dumps down there. And this is my other thing. It's my last baseball thing, and I'll carry on. I understand the Colorado Rockies. They were competitive, and now they're trying to reboot. And I get that. I think that Oakland A's and the Oakland A ownership should have to give up their ownership and sell the team to somebody that's willing to either infuse money into it in Oakland or infuse money into it somewhere else, because it's not doing Oakland, the city of Oakland, any good. It's not doing Major League Baseball any good. I don't care about Moneyball. I don't care about all of that. And I'm going to tell you one other quick note, and it's the reason I love Moneyball. I watch it all the time. I thought it was a really good movie, and it was just that. It was a movie. The reason that the Oakland A's went on that winning streak and they were so good is because they had one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. But they don't talk about that in there because it's more fun that they had a couple of guys that nobody knew about and they were doing. And they did do that. That's how they saved their money, because they spent all their money on pitching. But they were a good team and a playoff team because of their starting pitching. But that didn't sell movie tickets. And I still think it's a great movie. It's just not. It's more fiction than it is nonfiction. So, but I still enjoy it. Now, getting to football. Here is the last, and this is crazy. So the last 10 AFC championship quarterback matchups is, this one is going to be Mahomes versus Burrow. The next one's Mahomes versus Burrow in 22. The other was Mahomes versus Allen, Mahomes versus Tannehill, Mahomes versus Brady. Yes, that means that Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs have been in the last 5 AFC championships. Then it was Brady Bortles, Brady Roethlisberger, Brady Manning, Denver style, Brady Andrew Luck, and Brady Peyton Manning, Colt style. Now, you can kind of see here Brady beating Mahomes. I don't know. You can see why Tom Brady kind of ran off a few Super Bowls there with Brady Bortles, Brady Roethlisberger, Brady Manning, Denver, Brady Luck, Brady, Manning, Colts. I mean, it's just very interesting. Then it went on here. The Defensive Player of the Year Award. Right now it's between Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa, and Chris Jones. I think that's Nick Bosa's to win. Offensive Player of the Year is Tyreek Hill, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Jefferson. I think it's between Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, and I think Patrick Mahomes had a better year. The NFL Rookie of the Year finalists is Seahawks Kenneth Walker, the Jets Garrett Wilson, and the 49ers Brock Purdy. I don't think that Brock Purdy can win that award. based on 8 games, but I also don't know how Garrett Wilson and Kenneth Walker do. I mean, if you're going based on that, then you should give it to Kenneth Walker because at least his team won more games. But if you really, I wouldn't be surprised if Brock Purdy wins that award. Defensively, this was much tougher. Tariq Woolen from the Seahawks, the cornerback, shut down corner. The Jets cornerback Sauce Gardner, extremely shut down. And the Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson, who had a great year on a not-so-great defense the first 7 games of the year, but came on strong at the end. I'm not going to kid you. I think that's Sauce Gardner's to win. I mean, what he did for them is pretty crazy. And here's some of the reasons for who is the MVP. Joe Burrow threw for 279 yards a game, had 35 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. Passer rating was sixth. Patrick Mahomes averaged 308 yards, 41 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, a 105 rating. Jalen Hurts, 246, 22-6, 101. Josh Allen, 267, 35, 14, and 96.6. And Justin Jefferson had 128 catches, 106.4 yards per game, and 8 receiving touchdowns. If Justin Jefferson would have had a better last 3 games of the season, he might have been a little bit closer. I think that's Patrick Mahomes to win as well. And comeback player of the year, these all three are great stories. Saquon Barkley coming back from injury, Christian McCaffrey coming back from injury, and Geno Smith coming back from being on a milk carton and then coming back and getting the Seattle Seahawks, who had traded away Russell Wilson, to the playoffs. And he could win comeback player of the year and not be Seattle's quarterback next year. It's just the way the NFL works sometimes. Of all of those, and especially for offensive player of the year, if you take these players off their teams, what does their teams do? If you take Tyree Hill off the Miami Dolphins, are they a playoff team? I mean, with everything that happened this year, his numbers just don't match up with Justin Jefferson's. If you take Justin Jefferson off the Vikings, I don't think the Vikings are a very good football team. And you take Patrick Mahomes off the Kansas City Chiefs, I still think they might be a playoff team. Jalen Hurts off the Eagles, you saw what happened when they didn't have him in at quarterback. They lost a couple of games. But I still think that the numbers show that should be Patrick Mahomes. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We'll be back last segment on this Wednesday. Be right back.
200 Food Bank Strong.
1700 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody, once again. Happy Wednesday. Last segment. Getting ready for the weekend on the down. Coming on the down. Downside. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Tonight, you and I, Valparaiso, 6:30 pregame. Means Steve's going to be around the corner. I bet he's standing out there right now. Get to see Steve tonight. I appreciate that. We have Saturday, we have you and I at Indiana State. And Sunday, NFC, AFC championship games, 1 o'clock pregame. Probably taking us up to, after you get postgame, probably 8 o'clock. So that's a full day of a lot of good. A lot of good football. This last segment, Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides design, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security of your facility. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company. Want to thank Woodman Controls, Northwest Bank, Des Moines Orthopedic Heritage Building Maintenance, Palmer Group for being a part of the program. I was taking a look at this earlier today, and I was kind of looking at the Big Ten, the Big 12, and because we're a UNI affiliate, and I like Drake basketball as well, I was going to look at the Missouri Valley as well. The Big Ten right now is Purdue's to take. They are 8-1. Rutgers is 5-3. Michigan is 5-3. Wisconsin is 4-3. Michigan State is 5-4. Penn State is 4-4. Northwestern 3-3. The Hawkeyes are 4-4. Indiana 4-4. Illinois 4-4. Maryland 3-5. Ohio State 3-5. Nebraska 3-6. And Minnesota Golden Gophers are 1-7. The Iowa Hawkeyes, they have Michigan State on Thursday at Michigan State. Michigan State is 13-7. The Iowa Hawkeyes are 12-7. That'll be a good game. Then they play Rutgers at home. They had already beaten Rutgers 76-65 at Rutgers. That'll be a good game. Then they get Northwestern, and I think that is the first time that they play Northwestern and only time. Then they get Illinois. Illinois and Iowa have the same except for, they haven't played Illinois yet either. They do get Minnesota one more time, and then they get Northwestern again, and they get Wisconsin once, they get Michigan State again, they get Indiana again, and they get Nebraska again at the end of the year. 500 for Iowa in the Big Ten. I think they're going to be a little bit over 500 would be my guess, unless they play like they did the other night. And then I think they may struggle a little bit. Right now in the Missouri Valley, Southern Illinois is 8-2, and Belmont, new member, is 8-2. Northern Iowa Panthers are 7-3, and the Drake Bulldogs are 6-4. Murray State is 6-4. Bradley is 6-4. Missouri State is 6-4. Indiana State is 6-4. Valpo, Illinois are both, Illinois State are both 3-7. And Evansville is 0-10. And Illinois Chicago is 1-9. Then we get to the Big 12. Big 12. And this was from, let me click on. Let me go back one. I guess I could go off this. Kansas State and Iowa State are both 6-2. The Jayhawks are 5-3. Well, maybe I need to look because that's not going to be updated. So I'll get it updated right here, right now. The Big 12. Iowa State is 6-2. Kansas State is 6-2. Texas Longhorns are 6-2. Iowa State's above them right now because they have wins over both of them. TCU is 5-3. Baylor is 5-3. Of all the teams, Baylor's getting a lot better. Kansas lost 3 games in a row. That does not happen very often, and had a really good shot at losing 4 in a row. Iowa State should have. I couldn't help myself. Oklahoma State is 3-5. The Sooners are 2-6. West Virginia is 1-6, and Texas Tech is 0-7. Texas Tech's starting to get some of their players back that were hurt. I wouldn't want to play them late in the year, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Rankings, the AP. And both of these were before games last night. Purdue is still number one. Alabama is number two on both sides. Houston is number three. Purdue has one loss. Alabama, Houston have two. Tennessee is fourth. K-State was fifth. They're going to drop. I would assume Kansas is going to drop. It's kind of hard to put Iowa State with four lot, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what the AP top 25 looks like. Push comes to shove, Iowa State should probably jump back into the top 10, but we'll have to wait and see what that's going to look like. The coaches poll, Iowa State was 13. They actually had, now this is an interesting one on both sides. TCU is 15-4, and they were 11, and Iowa State was 12 in the AP. And Iowa State was ranked 13 in the coaches poll, and TCU was ranked 11th. And Iowa State has a win over TCU at TCU. There is no way in the world that TCU at 15-4 should be ranked ahead of Iowa State at 14-4. It just shouldn't happen. And it's based on that TCU won a game and Iowa State lost a game, but Iowa State lost a game to the aforementioned number 9 Kansas team. So, yeah, I that's why I don't like polls. They make polls be what they want to be, and it's frustrating. What else do I have here? Stetson Bennett. That was one of the interesting ones. Some of the Mel Kiper's first draft came out today. Stetson Bennett was in the is a third round quarterback. If you compare, this is a really funny thing. If you compare Stetson Bennett and Brock Purdy in college, I mean, Stetson Bennett might have had a better college career, but the talent level was completely different. And Brock Purdy was the last player chosen. I just think that's really, really interesting how that. How that's in there. The Iowa Barnstormers. Wow. Sorry. Had to sneeze. Hit the button. Woo. The Iowa Barnstormers tickets for the season are now on sale. I have to get down to a Barnstormers game. And I have to get to a Wild game. We've done a couple of Wolves games, but we have to get back down there. If you wondered who was the most watched football game over the weekend, if you picked the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers, you were correct. $45.7 million. One of the interesting, it looks like Carolina might be getting close to naming a, Carolina Panthers might be close to naming a football coach. Interesting name. I think I actually agree with it, and I would probably agree with it even more if I knew who the quarterback was going to be. But it looks like it's going to be Frank Reich. It was not Frank Reich's fault that the Indianapolis Colts kind of fell off the deep end. The upper management, general manager, ownership did not do a good job of replenishing talent on that team. Plus the misses they made with Carson Wentz did not help matters at all as well. The Indianapolis Colts still haven't really recovered from losing Andrew Luck. And I saw some vitriol on social media the other day about Andrew Luck. So you're talking about Andrew Luck. When you say that he comes from a very well-known, affluent, intelligent family, yes. Graduated from Stanford. Just a smart guy. And he was playing football, has a family, has all the money, and wakes up and can't remember things that happened, you know, Monday through Thursday of game week. Now, speaking as a 57-year-old guy, who on one hand has, I lost my father to Alzheimer's, and every time that I forget a name or I forget a number or I forget something, you know, the only child in me goes, oh, here we go. Not true. Just getting older. But think about that being a football player and you're in your 30s and you wake up in the morning and you can't, you know, you wake up. So you have a game Sunday, you wake up Monday morning and you couldn't tell yourself what you did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the week before. And you have a family. Come on. Think about that. I think Frank Wright's going to get a job, and I think he deserves a job. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott coming up tomorrow. See you then.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ.
Watch for an accident.